This is the only game in which it's sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong, and right here is the man who is seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you. In front of me are two teams, the women, Andre Melient, Anthea Askey, who are ready to do battle with the men, John Cleese and William Rushton. The object of this game is to try to deceive the other side with the answers to some obscure questions. While the teams don't know the answers to all the questions, some of the answers have been given to one team and some to the other. This is because, as the answering team scores more points by deceiving the opposition, they will try to make right answers sound wrong and wrong answers sound right. You'll pick up the scoring as we go along. All you have to remember is the team that successfully misleads the other is the winner. So in this atmosphere of mutual mistrust, here is the first question. Who, what, or where is or was Rose Noble?
William Rushton.
She was captain of the first Australian ladies cricket side to visit these shores.
I think if he had such a beautiful piece of information, you wouldn't give it away that quickly, and he's wrong.
5 points.
Who, what, where?
Who, what, or where?
Or where?
Is, or was, Rose Noble.
Rose Noble is a lady who bred a special kind of rose, the noble rose, Rose Noble.
Oh, that Rose Noble.
That one, yes, where was.
Is that right or wrong?
No.
We go up to 10 points.
Rose Noble was, in fact, a piece of dried, salted animal flesh left out in the sun and then salted, which could then be obviously used at any time because it wouldn't go bad. And it was prepared by the early settlers in the southern states of America.
10 points. Is that right or wrong?
I think it's wrong.
10 points. So we come up to 20 points.
So we can tell them what it is now. Yeah. Right? You and me?
Yes.
For 20 points.
Mm. Right, we will.
You start.
It is a well-known diamond.
It's not well-known.
It could be a diamond.
Yeah.
Rose Noble, well-known
diamond. The Rose Noble diamond.
It'll do.
No.
20
That's
points.
A good decision.
It's not a piece of flesh. We've established that. It's a coin. It's a piece of... No, it's a coin. It was a coin. It was a coin. And it was a coin. It was a coin.
To coin a phrase, it was a coin.
Right. I think that Ian Mester very rarely gives them the first one, so I still think it's wrong.
Wrong.
40 points, it's right.
Oh!
It was a gold coin worth about 33p in the 15th and 16th centuries.
Sorry.
When it was quite difficult to get 33p. And it was so called because it was stamped with a rose. And Ian Messiter has added value varied with time and place, which goes for most of our currency. The men have smoothly moved into a commanding lead at 60 points ahead. The pattern is set. Next question. On which day of the week will you cut your nails and be sorry? Anthea Askey.
You'd be very sorry if you cut your nails on Sundays. It's an old superstition. It's like passing each other on the stairs and all that sort of thing.
That's Fridays.
Is it? Mm. Well, I said Sundays.
No, passing yourself on the stairs.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Will they?
Would you consider Sunday as a question? Let me know.
Yes or no?
I think we should educate as well as be informative.
No.
Not Sunday.
5 points.
Tuesday.
Because you could chew them.
Could you tell us the phrase in case it rhymed or something like
yes.
that?
Yes. on which day of the week will you cut your nails and be sorry?
Cut your nails and be sorry? Did it alone choose? No.
5 points. It's now a 5-1 shot.
Friday.
You're sorry about a lot of things on Friday, aren't you? Friday's a sort of unlucky kind of day.
Rotten night for television, I've heard.
Yeah. The weekend is awful.
Oh.
Yes, I think set Friday. How about you? Yes.
10 points to the girls. It was Friday. They get 10 points for the right answer. But no more. I will, if anyone has got a few minutes to go and do anything, read you the full quotation. I should be about 40 seconds if everyone wants to go away. It comes from, cut them on Monday, you cut them for health. Cut them on Tuesday, you cut them for wealth. Cut them on Wednesday, you cut them for news. Cut them on Thursday, a new pair of shoes. Cut them on Friday, you cut them for sorrow. Cut them on Saturday, you see your true love tomorrow. Cut them on Sunday, your safety seek. The devil will have you the rest of the week.
What
and
fun.
It was written by a non, and I don't blame him. I'm going to play you a tape, and I want to know, what is this sound?
It is Sir Bernard Miles in his famed enactment of Long John Silver making his entrance. You heard the wonderful work. The one leg, of course. And Percy Edwards as the parrot. Squatting on his broad shoulder.
Terribly ingenious, yeah.
No.
5 points. It was not.
No, it's one of those laboratory experiments with rats when they sort of put something into their hearts and it makes them sort of...
A song.
do a song and dance.
My rat.
Yes. One of those sort of recordings.
No.
5 points.
Can we
I'll
hear
go
it
up to 25 points.
Can we hear it again?
Dennis? Yes, you can.
No idea. Heart condition, playing billiards with a canary.
Instead of a cue. Yes. I got that tactic myself.
No.
So the girls have 25.
I think I have the answer to it. What it was a spacecraft which had got the Death Watch beetle, and the beep was the thing he presses when he leaks to Houston.
When the Death Watch beetle speaks to
Well, when the spaceman... when the spaceman got rid of the Death Watch beetle, he pressed the thing, you see. And that was the wires, all trying to get rid of the Death Watch beetle.
Well, if the British had put it up, I could believe that. But not
the It was a British one. It was the first one they did.
No.
It was Houston and not Houston.
Houston.
25 points. It was not... We go up to 50 points.
It is, in fact, a man trying to club a vole to death with a golf club. A niblick, probably.
No.
50 points.
Because it's very simple. It is a woodpecker, actually, with a woodpecker's song at the end of it. Highly magnified.
Whatever that? That was a song. We didn't see that.
No, I don't think that's right.
So
they're wrong.
50 points. 100 points.
Ingenious. I've never heard anything like that.
Can we listen to it one last
yes.
time?
Yes, can we?
It's a very, very old record of Ronnie Ranald at the Long
William Ruston...
He has his needle stuck.
No, no, it's not.
No.
It's 100 points. It was
no,
not.
No, it isn't.
It's a bat. It's a recording. They've put the microphone in a tunnel, and the bat is flapping its wings against the wall, and then they shine the light on it very quickly, and it goes, shh, that's the bit at the end.
Right. Right.
You know your bat's in tunnels,
that's,
don't you?
That's what it is, and I was going to do it next time round.
That's 200 points to the girls, because it was wrong.
I thought they'd been given it.
Would anyone in the audience like to have a quick shout? A Geiger counter is wrong.
Somebody testing a microphone.
Somebody testing the microphone is wrong. Yes?
Same one.
The same one, also wrong. It was, in fact... Shall we hear just one last time?
Yeah.
It is so nice.
It's some creature.
It's chicken tiny. Cracking its way out of the egg. I thought it was a monoped football match which started clean and got dirtier. We come to the next question, and the girls have caught up convincingly and are now 250 points in the lead. What is the average flying speed of a wasp? For 30 points. I'll give it to within 10%. Audrey Many.
25 miles an hour.
I don't think they go as fast as that.
Oh, they go a deal faster.
Deal faster?
They didn't break the sound barrier. Bang! Bang! I've heard them.
It's wrong. It's wrong. And Willie's now going to give you the figure.
30 points.
Very noisy wasps. So that would put it. I remember the film sound barrier. It was about 630 mph.
No,
it's only an average, don't forget. Not 630. When they're at full blast.
You're allowed temps in an error, so if it were 567, they would be right.
Too far.
Wrong.
That's 30
too
points.
Fast, yes, you must.
Because it was too fast.
Actually,
60 points. When it's come up to?
I think it's 30 miles an hour.
30? No. I mean, we do mean an insect
points.
Wasp, don't we? Not a white Anglo-Saxon
yes, we do.
Protestant. Yeah.
60 points.
I would say it would go, the average wasp would travel about... average. Just say
run-of-the-mill wasp.
It's not a highly trained wasp or anything. Would probably travel at about 10 miles an hour.
Stall.
10 miles an hour.
How many out of sight?
10 miles an hour for 60 points.
But how many?
10%, which would 9 or 11.
9 or 11. No.
It's correct. 60 points.
No.
We go up to points.
Because it's 8.
8?
What are you nodding at?
You prefer a slow wasp to... I think it's about 620 out.
No.
It's 100 points.
This is interesting. 13.
13.
He waited a long time.
Down to that.
It is getting low.
Yeah, so that's sort of 11-ish up to 15-ish.
Yes.
Something like that, yes.
Is right?
Yes.
You're right, it is right. The actual average time is 12 miles an hour, and John Cleese was told...
12 sounds too light.
And the boys have caught up substantially. There's now 50 points between the teams with the girls leading. I'm going to play you a tape, and I want to identify the noise.
For 10 points, William Rushton.
It's a wasp breaking the sound barrier.
No, I don't think so. Do you want
10 points to the girls.
No. I think it's a kettle. It's a kettle being filled by a very difficult tap that turns itself on and off, and it's got an airlock in the pipes, and it's going like that.
Right or wrong?
Wrong.
10 points. We'll now have a bonus of 20.
I think that it is an expiring lizard. It could be a newt. Actually, a newt's more likely. An underwater, yes. A newt in an espresso or espresso coffee machine.
Can...
For 20 points, a newt in an espresso coffee machine.
Can we hear it again?
Yes, you can.
I know what he does.
Poor little devil. Shouldn't happen to a newt.
It'd be against the Ministry of Health.
I think if that John Cleese doing fuzzing the facts over.
It's an espresso
coffee machine without the newt.
Can you tell that?
So it's wrong or right?
It's right.
It is right.
Hmm.
It's an espresso coffee machine. I think you're absolutely justified in bringing in the newt. He's not actually on my card. You get 20 points, not 40, because they established it. And the men have now caught up, and there's only 25 points between the two teams. And we come to this week's guest. Every week we bring a guest into the studio who will give you a one-minute potted autobiography. And it's up to the teams to establish which is the one deliberate mistake he has made in his life story. And this week's guest is Mr. Terence Alexander.
Well, I was born in London on the 11th of March, 1923, so I'm a mixed-up little Piscean. I moved up to Yorkshire when I was 3 years old and regard myself as a Yorkshireman. I supported Yorkshire at cricket when they had Close and Illingworth. I wonder who they'll give boycott to now. As a boy, I was going to be a priest, but when my voice broke, I decided perhaps it wasn't quite the right way of life for me, so I married, not immediately, but later on, married Juno Alexander, who's the sister of Norman St. John Steve Ast, to mention but a few, and I've got two sons, 16 and 13, and my first professional engagement was at the age of 16 as assistant stage manager at the Opera House Harrogate, 10 bob a week. 12 months later, I joined the Hulbert Follies with Cicely Courtney and Jack Hulbert, and then later on I played Oswald in Gielgud's Macbeth. I had to leave that company before it reached London, and I was called up to the army on St. George's Day, 1942. Well, 5 years later, limping slightly, I resumed my acting career, played in rep in Bradford, Leeds, Sheffield, Richmond, Worthing, Bromley. My first West End appearance was in Party Manners in 1950 at the Prince's Theatre, and I did various other West End plays, including Poor Beatos and In at the Death, which was aptly named. TV appearances have included, Room in Town, Best This House, and I played Monty Darty in the Forsyth Saga, thank God. Brought in some money. Last year, I was in the BBC One series Ben Travers Farces with Dickie Browse and Arthur Lowe, and I've been in about 50 films, I think, including League of Gentlemen, Magic Christian, Waterloo, all the way up. My golf is... my hobby, I play badly but enthusiastically, and at the moment I'm delighted to say I'm in Move Over Mrs. Markham and earning money at the Vaudeville Theatre in the Strand.
And there was one mistake. You get 20 points for identifying it, and you lose nothing for a false guess.
I refuse to believe that Juno is the sister of Norman St. John Stevens.
Well, there are a number of theories about this. It has been legally established that she is the sister of all of them.
They're not that.
Andre Melly. I know Terry from Worthing and Bromley and all that. The only one I wonder was the date of Party Manners right?
It is supposed to be, as far as I know, yes. It was correct.
I don't see anything wrong with that, so I'm going to say that you did not, in fact, play Oswald to Gielgud's Macbeth.
You're absolutely right, because we made that up this morning. I played Angus, actually. There is no opera.
Which brings the men within 5 points of the women.
Was it fun doing this Ben Travers farce?
Yes, it was, yes. Well, I mean, you know, I worked a lot with Dickie Briers and Arthur Lowe, because Arthur was with Andre and I at Bromley Rep.
Brilliant rep company.
So it was great fun because we all knew one another, you know. Rather like the Foresight, because again, we all knew one another, and it makes it a lot easier if you're supposed to be 27 at the beginning. The lady you're playing opposite is also rather older than 27.
Do you get repeats for the Foresight saga?
Yes. But I think they've come to an end now pretty well. But, it's in Russia at the moment, apparently. But being dubbed, not dubbed, but it has a commentary, a rather heavy Russian commentary, explaining that this is what life is like in England, exactly. I gather.
Today.
Today.
Let's just move on from everything.
James Alexander, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Who was it who, on the second day of his adventure, said, "I believe we have gotten an orthosite rock"?
Blackpool. Sandy Witch? It's got to be one of those ruddy... It has to be one of those gallant...
John Cleese.
It has to be one of those gallant American astronauts. Andy Williams... No. Do you remember any of their names?
No.
There was one called Bean, wasn't there?
Was it
Al Bean or Ed Bean? Mr. Bean, the astronaut. Man.
Well, you wouldn't have got there by the second day, would he? So I think he's wrong.
5 points.
And
oh, you mean the adventure starts at the launching pad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I say who it really is?
Anthea.
Well, it was Thor Heyerdahl, and this is the reason he made 2 journeys on his craft, his strange craft that he went across the oceans of the world on. And on the second day, he struck this rock, you see. That's the reason he had to go back, because it tore the bottom of his boat out.
Thor Heyerdahl.
I don't think he would have used a word as polite as
believe.
North
would he? Couldn't speak much English, you see.
We've struck
blank. I'm
so,
a sort of rock.
No, wrong, sorry.
10 points.
It is an astronaut. I'm quite convinced it's an astronaut. But I don't know the names of any of the astronauts. There was one called Carpenter.
He did
Carpenter.
Odd jobs, right?
No, it wasn't Carpenter.
Can you think of an astronaut? Yeah. We've got Freeman, Hardy and Willis for the first three.
And Wilson, Keppel and Betty, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Was a Scott. Wasn't there a Scott?
That's the Antarctic.
It's not the same one.
Oh.
I mean, different.
There was one.
You're right.
There was.
Who'd gone out to look for wildlife? Yes, Scott. Scott of the Moon.
Scott of the Moon.
Scott of the Moon. The
not
Antarctic
Scott of the Moon.
40 points. 40 points to the men. Oh. It was Colonel David Scott on the second day of the August 1971 moon walk. And an orthosite is a granular plutonic igneous rock.
What a lot of lovely.
And they knew.
Well, of course, they wouldn't have talked so much if they
hadn't. We come to the next question. Who wrote, "I wish I loved the human race. I wish I loved its silly face. I wish I liked the way it walks. I wish I liked the way it talks. And when I'm introduced to one, I wish I thought, what jolly fun." This is the last question. The difference between the teams is 35 in favour of the men. And the ladies, who Andre Melle rang?
It's T.S. Eliot in lighter vein, like his cat possum things.
T.S. Eliot, for 20 points.
I think he was only light about cats, wasn't he?
Yes, I don't think he was.
I just
missed
that.
No.
Is correct. 20 points the men.
I can't make out. He doesn't like people, so he must be a comic. Unless it's somebody being comic who's very, very sad and depressed. So I think it's a translation by A.E. Housman of the original doggerel verse of Dante.
Dante?
Yeah.
Planty who?
No. Thank you. Sort of mumbling.
Desperate
it
dancing.
Is, yes.
It always
mumbles when you Planty. Know.
I don't.
20 points. No. 30 points we go up to.
He said, one of them said a comedian. It could have been G.H. Eliot, but in actual fact, it was our old friend Anon.
Anon for 30 points.
He's not even Ian Messiter would ask us that. No.
30 points to the men.
I think it's G.K. Chesterton.
G.K. Chesterton.
Nearly always is, isn't it, Mr.
Before, I was going to say, yes.
Think of the
it wouldn't be him again.
30 points. No, we go up to 40 points. This is the last question, I would remind you, and the difference between the teams is 35.
I think it's that not very well-known poet, Raleigh.
Raleigh?
Walter.
Walter. Motor bicycling. Yeah, around the world.
Monte Carlo.
Walter Raleigh.
Yeah. Walter Raleigh? The Walter Raleigh.
I can't
allow.
Certainly not.
You should have allowed, because it was Sir Walter Raleigh.
Sir Walter?
But
Raleigh.
Not.
You can't cover that up.
But not Sir Walter Raleigh of potato fame. It was a poet who lived from 1861 to 1922. So the score, for once, sees the girls in the lead, 720 points to 655 by the girls. And from the vanquished, John Cleese and William Rushton, to the victorious, Anthea Askey and Andrea Melly, it's goodbye for another week from Right or Wrong.